Hey, it's Barbara Phillips with NPBO, and I wanted to give you a heads up on a webinar that we have coming up Thursday, May 16th, and it will be with a certified healthcare privacy person who has been in charge of a very large healthcare organization and their privacy compliance, HIPAA, and all of that sort of thing. And I think it's very important that all clinicians attend this one because HIPAA affects all of us. And so you can get more information about that at npbusiness.org/privacy matters. And just another quick heads up after that, in June, we'll be talking with someone who has been in charge of the IT compliance to protect the organization. And so this one will be geared toward how do you protect yourself as well as your practice. And I'll be sharing more information about that later. So let's move on with the podcast. This is episode number 82 of the Business Matters podcast. And today I want to talk about purchasing a practice, how it's different from starting a practice, and what are some of the key considerations that you need to have. Now, keep in mind, this is going to apply even if you are, quote unquote, inheriting a practice from someone who is retiring. So let's go ahead and get started. Hello and welcome to the NP Business Matters podcast, the show that's dedicated to helping nurse practitioners just like you succeed in business. I'm your host, Barbara C. Phillips, founder of Nurse Practitioner Business Owner. And since 2007, we've been working with you on the business of being a nurse practitioner, providing education, resources, and support as you start, grow, and operate your own practice. Whether you're a seasoned entrepreneur or just getting started, this podcast is designed to help you navigate the challenges and the opportunities of running your own practice. I'll cover a wide range of topics from startup and finance to marketing and operations. I invite you to subscribe and listen to each episode for tips, insights, how-tos that you need to succeed. To learn more about NPBO and our resources, visit us at npbusiness.org. Welcome and welcome back to the NP Business Matters podcast, where I'm Barbara Phillips, and I want to start off with a little bit of a disclaimer. Now, you already know by listening to the intro that we're going to be talking about purchasing a practice, inheriting a practice, and some of the key things that you need to consider as you move through that process. But my disclaimer is always, I am not an attorney, I am not a CPA, and as you'll hear throughout the podcast, I'm going to strongly encourage you to engage the services of those professionals, as well as maybe one or two more, who can help you navigate the waters of a purchase and an acquisition of a practice. This is not something that is for the faint of heart. Starting a practice never is, but there's more things that you need to take into consideration because it really isn't the end all to be all. And if you aren't careful, you will end up with a whole lot of headaches that you didn't need to have. So let's talk about how this might be a little bit different and maybe how it's not. Many people think that purchasing a practice might be easier than starting from scratch. And in some ways, I suppose it can be. You get the physical location, you may get the equipment and stuff that is in there, but you don't necessarily have a built-in patient population. And there are plenty of other pitfalls that can happen if you are not careful. In my opinion, the biggest potential pitfall is that you are inheriting someone else's headache. And I'm not kidding when I say that, because I have seen it happen over and over again. Think of it this way. It's like buying a used car. You may not know that that engine block was cracked in an accident 6 months ago, or that prior work was done by someone who maybe was using inferior parts. Or perhaps they were just trying to jerry-rig it and they watched a YouTube video and filled in the blanks on his or her own. Now, of course, don't get me wrong. YouTube is powerful and it's a great place to learn a lot of different things. And that's good, but you have to be able to do your due diligence. Another thing about purchasing a practice is the idea that you are purchasing patients. And while the practice may have a solid and established patient base, there is absolutely no guarantee that the patients are going to stay with the new owner. Patients do have the ultimate say and can switch and change providers as often as they wish. Really, the only limiting factor here might be their insurance and or the affordability if they don't have any insurance. But people have their loyalties and they just may follow somebody. This is why, in so many ways, the intent behind non-compete clauses when you are leaving the employee of someone and going and starting your practice, they don't make any sense because patients are going to do what they want to do if that was their intent of having you sign that non-compete clause. Now, there are more considerations, but let's get down to some of the things that you definitely want to investigate before signing on the dotted line. And I've got 10, 12 things for you to consider. And by the way, I will have a handout that you can get when you go over to the show notes at npbusiness.org/82. First one, of course, number one is financial assessment. You really want a complete assessment of the practice's finances. And this will include looking at their financial statements, their tax returns, their billings, and their collections. You want a complete picture, not only of the assets, but the liabilities as well. And this is where it is crucial to bring in a CPA who is skilled at helping you make this assessment and doing the research. As I've said, you do not want to be saddled with something that you didn't know about. And this has happened, as I've mentioned before, and really, you don't want to join that club. So to me, this is like number one, what's been going on with this practice, not just in the last 12 months, but perhaps the last 5 years. You want to make sure everything is on the up and up. Number two is the legal considerations. What contracts does that practice have with insurance companies, contractors, vendors, employees, and other third parties? What would be your obligation, if any? Are you going to be inheriting those contracts? If you don't like those contracts, can they be renegotiated? Or is it something that you want to drop out altogether? So the person, of course, who is best suited to reviewing legal contracts is going to be your attorney. So you need to have somebody who is skilled in this area. Number three, and by the way, these are not necessarily in order, although I would certainly start out with the finances, because if that doesn't pass, it's a no-go. So number three is going to be employees. You want to look carefully at what employees the practice has. If you've heard me mention this before, and you probably have, employees are always going to be your highest line item, the highest cost factor in your budget. And so you want to look carefully at who is there and what they're doing. Now, one of the things that I'm hearing from so many practices right now is that finding good employees is really difficult. Finding them and keeping them, it's difficult right now. We seem to be in a problem area, and it's been like that probably since COVID. So it's still going on, and that's something that you want to consider. But you don't want to hold on to something that isn't up to standards, up to your standards, and may be a detriment to your practice. Chances are the existing employees may be loyal to the current owner, and they may or may not be happy with the change that is happening. And maybe they're also worried about how it will be to work with a new owner. Will they keep their jobs? What is going to happen? So there's things happening on both sides of this equation. But you want to make sure that you take a look at job descriptions, contracts, performance evaluations. You also want to check, if they're licensed people, what their boards are saying, or if there's any other kind of litigations, or maybe there is the national provider database that you want to look at. Think of it as you're going to be hiring these people again. And truly look at job descriptions, because it's my opinion that all of your employees in a small, particularly in a small practice, they need to be cross-trained and they need to be able to pick up pieces. And even in your current practice, if you have people that are twiddling their thumbs, you need to take a look at that, because that is costing you money. I think the bottom line here when you are looking at employees is you want to approach it in the same way as if you were hiring new staff. Are you going to be able to work with them? Are they the kind of people that you want in your practice? And certainly if there's a history of problems, this may be the time that maybe they need to also look for new employment. Number four is going to be patient records. Now, you want to take a look at them. Let's assume that patients are going to be staying with you. So take a look at the records. Are they complete? Have they been well maintained? Are they organized? Is everything up to date in our charts signed off? What kind of an EHR is it? Is it something that you can stay with, or do you want to stay with? What kind of contract is there? Can the company give you a clear account if you were to inherit that record, so that everything is now yours and that you will be the sole owner and no one else is going to be logging in? Now, of course, you don't know if those patients are going to stay with you or not, so you'll also need to make sure that you have the ability to be able to transfer those records. And of course, if that's the case, you're going to have signed consents and that kind of thing. If you have to transfer out of that EHR, it is doable, but we all know that it's not an easy transition to move patients from one EHR to another. You would think that with our technology today, we'd be able to do that, but that still isn't the case. So you want to take all of these things into consideration. And don't forget, when you're looking at an EHR, you also want to look at, going back up to finances, the budget of the EHR, because you can get an EHR for relatively little, or you can pay through the nose. And we don't need to be paying through the nose. There's a lot of other cost factors to running a practice.
Number five is going to be practice reputation.
So you're going to have to market this practice.
No matter how established it is.
Because you are the new owner, you might be doing things
because you are the new owner,
if that practice has a bad reputation,
if that practice has a bad reputation,
word of mouth going on,
then you are going to have to figure out, okay, so how am I going to overcome it?
If the practice has a good word of mouth, that's great. A good reputation.
If the practice has a good word of mouth, that's great.
But you'll also still need to do what you can to make sure that you maintain that.
But you'll also still need to do what you can to make sure that you can make or break that.
Because as we know, those ratings and that word of mouth, what are people talking about?
Can make or break.
What are some of the issues?
Now, if there are problems,
what are people talking about
and can do?
What are some of the issues?
And improve that buzz
that you want to do
so that your practice can
market and bring in those patients.
And
now,
those ratings,
it may or may
so
not be
your
worth
practice
it depending
can,
on what's going on. So this is really
market
important.
And bring in those patients.
So number now, six is practice
it may or may
valuation.
Not be worth it
kind of ties in
on.
So this is really
the
important.
Finances, but it's a little bit different.
So
number
what
six
we're trying to determine
is
here is
valuation.
What is the actual
now, this is
value
going to tie
of the
into
practice
finances to some degree.
The area that the
really
practice is in.
You want to look at the actual value
you want
of the
to
practice.
Hire a professional.
And when people
who can
are
looking
look
at
this,
practice valuation,
and they look at the values of the practices,
the experts
your market
that you're going
region,
to want to hire, who could
they can also compare it to other markets.
They can look at the market demand.
They're looking at
and there's many things that
assets,
are involved
looking
in looking at
the
value, including physical assets, the goodwill, the overall market conditions of the practice. And if that practice owns real estate, they're going to assess the condition of the property and the value of the property as well. Now, if the practice is leasing property, they'll also include the review of the lease terms. And there is a lot of information that can be found out. And a lot of times when a practice goes to market, it will be based on this practice valuation. So this is one key area that needs to be looked in. And of course, you need to find someone who does practice valuations in your area. And you can do that by asking colleagues, as well as you can search for medical or health practice valuation for your region. Number 7 is payer mix. And I've talked about this before as well, but if you are going into a practice, particularly if the practice takes insurance, you definitely want to talk about payer mix. This is going to be looking at the different contracts, what the allowable amounts, the reimbursements are going to be, the number of patients in those particular buckets, etc. Now, I'm not going to go into detail into what payer mix is, but I'm going to refer you to podcast episode number 55, where I talked about cost per patient and the payer mix and how it impacts your practice. And so I'll have that link over in the show notes at npbusiness.org/82. Basically, when you are looking at your cost per patient and your payer mix, you want to know how much it actually costs you to see a patient, regardless of what you're doing to that patient. What are those hard costs that you will endure having to see that patient? And then looking at the average reimbursements, particularly in the various buckets, and seeing if you are even getting your cost. Obviously, you want more than your cost, but you'll need to really sit down and determine that. Now, even if you are a cash practice, you need to run these numbers as well. You need to know how much it costs you to see a patient and what kind of income that you are, or the fees that you're charging, so that you know what your potential income is going to be and you want to stay above that number. So again, I refer you to npbusiness.org/55, or you can just find the link in the show notes and make sure that you listen to that, because that is a really important metric that you need to be paying attention to. Number 8 on our list is going to be compliance. Now, obviously, this is crucial for any practice, is what is your compliance status? And you want to make sure that any practice is in compliance with all the local, state, federal regulations. And this can include things such as the various healthcare laws and things like HIPAA and OSHA, your billing compliances, etc. Now, someone like Susan Montana, who has been on our webinars, or Don Self, both of them are certified auditors, and they can help you do a deep dive into all of these different areas. So they would be people to contact. And you can also look for compliance auditing online to find somebody in your area as well. Number 9 is going to be what kind of technology is involved in the practice and what the equipment being used is. And you want to look at the condition of everything that's in there. So is it up to date and in good working order? Will it need to be replaced soon? Has it kept up with current requirements and the needs of the practice? And another thing that I would look into, and this goes both into equipment, since everything is online these days, as well as compliance, is with OSHA looking at that security risk assessment. And what is that Wi-Fi line like? And is it a secure line? Have there been any breaches? Again, part of compliance, but also part of technology. And so you definitely want that looked into. Number 10 is going to be transition. So what kind of a transition plan will there be if you're going to move forward? How is the person that you are buying or inheriting the practice from going to be handing over the reins? What is going to happen with the patients and staff and the operations of the practice? Are they going to stay around and help with that transition to ensure that it's a smooth one? Or is this even something that you want them to do? And something that you may want to consider, you want to know what their future plans are. Because sometimes people may want to get out of a practice. It's become too big. It's not what they want anymore. And so they may go down the street, perhaps, and open another practice. And you might not necessarily want that because, again, you're going to have patients who likely have built up a whole lot of loyalty. After all, none of us likes to change their providers, and especially if we've seen them for a number of years. And I know I would be inclined to follow them to a new practice, and you might as well. So you really want to know what those practices are. Sometimes you'll see a recommendation to have a non-compete clause with the seller so that they're not opening something in your immediate area to get around this. Now, non-compete clauses may or may not be legal. Again, that's something that your attorney who is assisting you with the purchase or inheriting this practice can help you with. And of course, that takes us to 11, which is the purchase. How are you going to purchase this practice? Will you finance it? How will you finance it? Where will you finance this? And what are the terms of financing? Is it going to be like a lease-to-own type of a situation? How much cash will you need either to purchase it outright or as a down payment? Now, one of the things I often recommend when you're starting up a new practice is you really want to keep your overhead as low as possible, and that includes taking out any loans. And so that would be a negative in terms of starting a practice versus purchasing a practice. It's going to cost you actually more in many ways if you purchase a practice because that person is going to want their equity out of the practice. So that is something to consider as well. And number 12, if you decide you are actually going to purchase this practice, you also want a plan to make it your own, both in the legal sense and just the vibe of the practice. How are you going to turn that into your own? Now, I've had people who have, when they've purchased the practice, they haven't bothered to get a new tax ID or new NPI2 numbers and that kind of thing. And I would highly recommend that you do that because then you're taking it out of whatever history was there into a new practice, into something that is going to be identified as your own. So instead of the Main Street Clinic, it is now the Broadway Street Clinic, whatever it may be. So again, your attorney can help you with all of this legal stuff that needs to be happen. Because remember, your goals here are not to bring any historical issues with you as the new owner. So I think it goes without saying that throughout this entire process, your focus is really going to be on doing due diligence. And that means verifying all the information that is provided by the seller and identifying any potential issues that may affect your ability and your desire to purchase this practice. Of course, you're not going to be doing this alone, and I can't stress enough, it is absolutely imperative that you have the legal and professional and financial people on board, listening to their advice, being not emotionally attached to the idea, but trying to be as objective as you can be before you sign on that dotted line. You can see that there's so much more to purchasing existing practice than starting a practice from scratch. And obviously, there's pros and cons for each. And only you can decide, of course, what is going to be right for you. Either way, getting professionals involved and getting the support that you need is going to go a long way to ensure your own success. I hope this has been helpful for you, and I want to encourage you to go on over to the show notes at npbusiness.org/82 to get a checklist of these things that I have talked about. And I also want to hear from you. Have you purchased an existing practice? What are some of the caveats that you picked up along the way? And what advice would you have for your colleagues? I know in talking with NPs over the years that some people have done this and they've had a good outcome. Others have had headache after headache after headache. So curious minds want to know. So head on over to npbusiness.org/82 and let us know your experience. As always, I want to thank you for taking your time to listen to our podcast, to sharing it with your colleagues, and leaving us a positive rating. I can't wait until next time to see you in the NP Business Matters podcast. Bye-bye now.